Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Postable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 71 of the Fully Postable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we have news. We've got a new prop that we are debuting on the show.
A prop. Much like Godfather's hat?
Yeah, I actually need to get the Godfather's hat, though.
Could I ask a question about the prop?
Yes.
Is it stuffed?
No. It is not mine.
Is it made of plastic?
Yeah, it is, actually. Kind of.
Did you have wrestling figures made of us?
No.
Darn it. Then I don't want it.
We have news. We have nostalgia. We've got Who Dude It Better and your secret question. Head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt like your wife did for you today, Scott.
Yes, that is my early Father's Day gift.
Yeah, look at that. You're going to be sporting around that shirt, looking all hot and sexy.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited, man. And so that's the retro shirt. We could possibly have another one soon?
Yeah, make sure you go bookmark that What a Maneuver page and keep hitting that refresh button for 2 weeks because eventually it's going to go up.
Yes, I'm super excited to finally have my Fully Posable Goes Retro shirt. Like I said, early Father's Day gift. Can't wait to get it, sport it out like everybody else is. And thank you to everyone that has purchased a shirt. You are supporting the show. And with that support leads to possible giveaways, so stay tuned.
You can stay tuned and follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please give us one of those five star skis on iTunes. That helps out the show. You can email us any questions, audio questions, wish lists to FullyPosable, WFP, at gmail.com. And Scott, we actually have an audio question at the end of the show.
Yes, we do. And just for reference, I've had people walking by the house yelling questions at me. That does not count as an audio question. You actually need to send it to us in some form, i.e. Twitter, hit either of us on Facebook at our personal accounts. You can email it to us, but walking by my house shouting into my windows does not count as an audio question. I just wanted to clarify that.
You're like, crap, I didn't get my recorder. Yell it again.
Yeah, right. And I also haven't had a recorder since I was in second grade. So that's just also for clarification.
Remember when I used to put my tape recorder up to the TV and record the wrestlers' themes?
Yes, I think we actually talked about that on a few podcasts. You were very dedicated to the full show. You weren't just one of those sit down with a wrestling ring and have some guys go at it. You came prepared with theme music. You would sit in front of the television on Saturdays, both in the morning for WWF and in the afternoon for NWA, record the entrance themes, and you would actually play them when you had the guys come down for matches.
I had so many blank tapes of just wrestlers' themes. And then even for wrestlers I didn't have, I would get their themes stuck in my head.
I.e. the Rock and Roll Express.
And the Midnight Express, too.
Of course. And the Hollywood Blondes.
Oh, yeah. Because we didn't have access to it, to the themes. Like, right now, I can just go onto YouTube, type in Hollywood Blondes theme, and boom, there it is.
Yeah, actually, Spotify is a good resource for that, too. But when we were younger, the struggle was real. And to get entrance themes, you literally had to hold a tape recorder up to the television to get that stuff. And then, thank goodness, WWE finally started coming out with tapes and CDs of entrance themes. But by that point, it was too little too late. We had already figured it out.
Right. You had a pile driver.
The Great Pile Driver.
The Great Pile Driver album. I think that tape got worn out. I played that sucker so much.
Was it Girls in Cars, Jeff? Is that?
It was Girls in Cars. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sure was. Scott, here's the new prop. I'm going to hold this up to you.
Oh, the gimmick came out quickly.
Yes. What is that?
Hold on. I'm reading it. It is what it is, and it appears to be, no, it is not a hockey puck. It is a button.
It is a button. But Scott, this button contains something. This is the brand new, welcome to the show, the Scotty T WWE
Mark
Meter.
Oh my gosh.
So,
dude, wait. This is like Orndorff turning on Hogan. Really? Like, you've completely blindsided me. I just took a pile driver in the middle of the ring after our tag match for no good reason, other than the fact that you just want to call me a mark with a button. You're laughing way too hard at this, dude.
Sorry, dude. This is actually great. No, we've been editing the show a past couple weeks, and we've noticed that you have been pretty WWE storyline heavy. So what this button does is this button reminds me that whenever I hit the button, I've got to reel you back in and either talk about figures or maybe even a little indie stuff. But I got to reel you back in, man. I get it. You're in that WWE fantasy game that you're doing.
Yes.
I get it. And, you know, most of the people that you hang out with do talk mainly WWE. So I get it.
Yes.
I need to reel you back in a little bit and swing it back to wrestling figures.
So that is my cue that if I'm getting a little bit too carried away with being pro WWE, you're going to get out the it is what it is button. And you're going, yes. I'm going to hear Mark. And then that is my cue to shut up and not talk about WWE anymore. Perhaps maybe switch to PWG or ROH or NJPW.
Yes.
Because I am, in fact, being a WWE mark. And you brought up a good point. I am so pro WWE and spouting so much about WWE because of the Fantasy League. That is 100% fact. Let me also say that I was in dead last place after winning the championship last season. In all my might, I might have gotten a little bit carried away when I did the draft, and I was in dead last. But, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to announce that I have done a complete 180, a big turnaround. I'm hulking up, and I am now sitting comfortably in third place. So, currently, one of my buddies, Ed, he's in first place. My wife, of all people, holds second place with a really, really strong roster, but she had a crappy payback pay-per-view that didn't do her any favors or justice, and she only put up 8 points for that one, and that was hurting her big time. So she lost. She was in first. Now she's in second, and I am bringing up third place proudly, and I'm looking strong for the next Raw pay-per-view too, so wish me luck. Also, on the WWE fantasy note, don't you hit that button. Stop it.
You know what happens when you talk WWE booking too much?
Well, I'm not talking booking. This is not booking. This is fantasy. I got a DM from one of our great listeners, Mike, the cleaner. We all know Mike. Uh-huh. Awesome guy.
Yep. Mike's great.
He wants to get the Fig Life community together, just a handful of us, and do a fantasy league. Much like I'm doing with some other good friends of mine. So he has strong interest in doing the WWE Fantasy League. But my issue is I really don't want to keep score. I'm happy to provide my sheets that have all of the point breakouts on them to anybody willing to keep score. But ideally, we want to keep it at around 7 people. That's, you get more bang for your buck with the roster. See, I threw a more bang for your buck in there so you wouldn't hit that button. You get more bang for your buck if you have about 7 people. Your rosters are a bit deeper. The points go up a little bit at that point. So I'm thinking maybe 7 people. If you're interested, hit us up. It's kind of a first come, first serve, but somebody has to be willing to keep points, and it's not going to be me. Not it. And Mike already also said not it. So it's not going to be Mike or myself, but there is some interest. And if we get enough interest, I guess we would do a draft right after SummerSlam. And that would lead from the... I would say the Raw the week after SummerSlam, all the way through the WrestleMania event. And yeah, let us know if you're interested. And if we can get 7 people together, we'll do it.
Well, count me in, but I'm not doing... I have zero time for the scorekeeping. There is no way.
Agreed. That is my issue exactly. So I'm in, you're in, Mike is in, and we probably need like 4 more people, but one of the 4 needs to keep score. Again, not it.
Yeah, not it. All right. That's cool.
Thank you for not hitting the button. End of rant.
By the way, got my curiosity because of my passion for fantasy baseball, football, and now I enjoy listening to you talk about it. I never thought I'd be playing it, but since Mike wants to do it, I'll jump in it. But what has brought you back from last to up to third? Like, what has turned around? Did you pick Jinder?
No, unfortunately, I did not. Ed actually picked Jinder at the draft. And then through the waiver wire, we call it trade, but it's more of a waiver wire pickup. He picked up both of the Bollywood boys. Through the waiver wire, he also picked up Breezango, both Fandango and Tyler Breeze. So with those four pickups, it's basically propelled him right into first place. My issue was I had my first pick. I kept Roman Reigns, and he wasn't on TV a ton right after WrestleMania. He was kind of facing Braun Strowman, but he wasn't doing all of his interviews, and he wasn't having a ton of matches, so I didn't get a lot of points out of him. My second pick, Nakamura, just literally had his first match this past weekend, so I got, like, really only interview points out of him. My third pick, Sasha Banks, has been embroiled in a hot feud with Alicia Fox, not really putting up any points. Yeah, exactly. Not really putting up any points. So, as you know, as anybody knows that plays fantasy sports, if your first three picks aren't putting up points, guess what? You're picking up the slack at the last place of the league. So that's where I was, but Nakamura's coming on. Sasha's getting more TV time. Due to the Braun Strowman injury, Roman Reigns is getting more TV time. So I'm starting to jump up the ranks a little bit. I've made a few trades here and there. My fourth pick, Scott Dawson, has basically been out of action since Wilder broke his jaw. So it looks like they're getting ready to come back. So I'm going to ramp up the points there too. So yeah, it's just, it's exciting, man. It's a lot of fun, and you really start paying attention way more to the WWE product, which is why you now own a button that says Mark. Welcome to the show, prop.
Actually, it was going to be a color chart, and it was going to have one of those board game spinners on it. And I was going to move the needle, and when it gets red, and when you started flaring up down there for WWE product.
When you say flaring up down there, you aren't talking about my jock itch, right?
Correct.
Thank you for not talking about that on the show. I appreciate that.
So when it was in a red line, I was going to have to push you back and reel it back. But the editor actually found this button on Amazon, and she came up
thanks,
with the idea.
Editor. That's lovely. That's...
Hey, we got you fried chicken and waffles last week.
That's true. You did. Yes. Yes.
You know we love you over here, but we had, because we've been editing the past week, and do you remember how you were with the Ring of Honor and PWG in 2010, 2011, and 2012, 2013?
Yeah, it was almost like I knew I was watching the next WWE Superstars.
Right, right, right.
And I was very passionate about it.
Right, exactly. So it switched over to WWE in 2017. And so we've been editing, and I'm like, man, Scott is like not stopping about WWE booking.
Well, I think you're onto something there. With my passion with the indies from 2010, well, still to current, let's not say that it ended, but really from 2010 to like 2014, look at who I was cheering on. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, El Generico, all those guys. Mm-hmm. And now they're at the forefront of the WWE. And I just think it's awesome. And maybe that's why I'm so carried away, as I'm actually watching those guys, you know, go from indie to WWE to the top of the WWE card. And maybe that's why I'm so pro WWE right now.
That's actually a good point, dude. I didn't think about that.
You just brought it up. And then you made me think about it.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
One of the ones that actually made me laugh is last week, I knew we were going to rant with Amp, dude, and I knew it was going to be pro WWE. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to steer it to the indies. I wanted to talk about New Japan. I wanted to talk about PWG. I wanted to talk about Ring of Honor and just younger guys like Leo Rush. I just kind of wanted to steer towards that way. And I started to bring it up, and I was like, you know, turn on New Japan. And I said that. And a couple of seconds later, you're all, can we talk about how great the WWE roster is? And I'm like, oh God, I lost it.
Sorry, dude. I didn't mean to shut you down, but it is really good right now, dude. You've got to admit, when AJ and Shinsuke are your main event tag team on SmackDown, come on, dude.
I'm not gonna go there regarding the whole gender thing. That's beating a dead horse right now, man.
You know, it doesn't seem like there's anybody that really has an opinion that it's just okay. You are either like, don't hinder gender, I love him, this is great for WWE, or you're like, this guy's a jobber, screw him. And I've seen both ends of the spectrum on Twitter, on Facebook, social media has been going crazy with it. The bottom line is people are talking about it. So whether you love it or you hate it, and they did get an uptick in their ratings too on SmackDown. So
good for them.
I'm not making an argument for or against it. I'm just saying maybe they did something right.
Well, I said this on Twitter today. I said, what I'm upset about is Jinder went from, you know, jobbing out to Mojo, and in 1 month he's in the main event. And I didn't even get a montage. I wanted a montage of Jinder's rise to that. And I didn't get a montage. There always has to be a montage. Rocky had a montage.
So did Cartman.
Exactly, dude. I needed a montage to make me feel for Jinder. Now I'm just like, ah, I'm out.
So you're not invested in this Jinder thing at all?
A big part of me is saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, oh, it's something new. It's something new. And I'm like, yeah, but a month ago, I didn't care about Jinder. When he came back, I didn't care about Jinder. Ah, damn it. We're talking WWE booking. Damn it.
Turn the button on yourself, dude.
Mark.
I like this prop already.
No, I'll wrap it up because it's the beginning of the show. But anyways, it's just I didn't care about him. And I'm going to play the wait and see what happens. It's kind of a cool. He has a different feel. Like when they lay out the rug for him in the limo, or, you know, the parade or whatever they had, the celebration of life they had for Jinder or something like that.
No, see, that would mean he was dead. And he only won a title, dude. He did not die. Yes. A celebration of his title win.
Now they're starting to make it feel special. So I'm going to kind of wait and see. That's the kind of the approach I'm taking. See where this goes.
Oh, right. And I've always been of the mindset with WWE, like, let it breathe. Don't jump to conclusions and don't form an opinion so quickly. Give him a chance. See where it's going. Let the angle breathe and see where it goes. I mean, it could be by SummerSlam. They've built him up so much that he's going to be like a monster champion. Like, not, I wouldn't say like Brock Lesnar, but that probably isn't correct. But I mean, they could build him up to be a great monster champion where if somebody beats him, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to have a big match feel. So I'm of the mindset, let the angle breathe and see where it goes. I don't want to form a hard opinion one way or the other yet.
All right, we gotta switch this up.
Yeah, we're supposed to be talking about wrestling figures, right?
All right, this is now changed from the Scotty T WWE Mark Meter 3000 to the Toon Brothers Mark Meter 3000. Damn it, I got wrapped in.
Welcome to the club, brother.
Ah, I got wrapped up in it, damn it. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
Just some light toy spotting. Checked Walmart. And I actually took a picture of our Walmart pegs, and I'm going to post it to our Fully Posable Twitter after the show. I want to show our listeners how pathetic our Walmart is for collecting. Like, when I don't bring anything to the show, like, oh, yeah, I got this figure, I got that figure, you're going to understand why after you see the picture. So stay tuned to Twitter, and I will post that picture. That's a promise. I also checked Big Lots, and all they had was a basic series, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the series number off the top of my head, but it was a Finn basic, and Neville was in that series. It's the one that also had Dana Brooke, but unfortunately, Big Lots only had Neville and Finn. They had two Finns, one Neville, and a couple other guys that I'm not remembering off the top of my head. Finn and Neville were the two big ones that they had, obviously, and no Dana Brooke. Otherwise, I would have grabbed Dana. And that was at Big Lots, and those were only $10. Only. I guess that's what you pay for them everywhere. And no elites to report.
I went to Walmart today just to save my toy spotting because it's been so pathetic out here. And I walk in and our shelves are actually stocked.
Wow.
But it's, yeah, they actually had the 47.5 elites. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually surprised with Kane and the Ascension and all that stuff.
Right. The Ascension that you passed on at Access.
I did. You know, people have been mixed on that. Some people are like, oh, I would have grabbed the Ascension too, or I would have went in and picked them up. And then some people are like, it's the Ascension. What? Why?
Because autographs.
And that part I get. That's the collector side of me is like, oh, I got to get more autographs.
Well, see, 100% with me too. I'm not a fan of the Ascension really, but I would not pass up an opportunity to get their signatures. Especially on a couple of elite.
And especially with how short their line was Thursday night. I was like, whoa.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You had a prime opportunity. Not to rub it in your face, because I'm sure next year, assuming Ascension is still on the roster, their line will still be short. And I'm sure you'll be able to pick up the two Ascension figures on a ringside collectibles sale for like, I don't know, $15.
That's what, I actually held the Kane figure in my hand. The only reason I want that Kane figure is because of the mask that comes in the case.
Really, really cool accessory.
It is a cool accessory, but I mean, I don't really want to spend $18 on a mask.
I don't blame you at all. I'm not going to buy a figure just for an accessory. Although I was tempted on that Kalisto that came with the trampoline. That one was pretty cool.
That one is pretty cool. But I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I'm not going to spend $18 on this. I'm going to just wait till on Amazon until it goes down in price.
There you go.
Yep. Got news. We've got some. What do you say?
Yeah, let's talk about that news.
Oh, crap. It slipped. Sorry, dude.
Already? I didn't even say anything.
It slipped. Sorry. It slipped in my hand. Scott.
Look at the props taking over the show already.
Scott, in the news, we discussed this last week, but when we recorded last week, the figures hadn't been shown. This is the NXT line.
Yeah, we were a day ahead of the reveal, and now we know a little bit more about the assortment.
As I last heard, these are expected to hit Target around mid-June. So
Target exclusive is confirmed, right? Target exclusive?
Yes, it is Target exclusives. Yes. Here are the basics. Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Ty Dillinger, and Almas. I'm going to just call him Almas because I have such a rough time saying his name. I butcher it all the time.
Well, you can pronounce CN, right?
CN Andrade, whatever. It's Almas.
You can say CN Almas. That's okay. You don't need to worry about the Andrade part. That's okay.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So he's part of the basics. What did you think of these now seeing the full picture?
If I give you my honest opinion, are you going to hit that button?
No.
Okay, good. I love this assortment. I can tell you the entire line I am purchasing along with everything you're about to announce next.
Even purchasing all the basics?
Okay. I'll admit that I'm on the fence on 3 of the 5, but I'm definitely getting Ty. I'm definitely buying CN Almas. You know, I don't know if he's would be considered like a glorified jobber, but I think in all of NXT, he is probably the best guy that loses all the time. He is so super talented. Like, I was not a fan of his when he first came up and he was trying too hard to be a babyface, but like now that he's kind of like a dickish heel, pardon my French, it really fits his character and I really like him and I wish he wouldn't lose all the time because that dude's got skills. So I'm definitely buying Ty. I'm definitely buying CN Almas, even though they are basics. But you didn't say the best part about those basics.
So coming with all the basics, there will be a build-a-figure pieces for the inflatable, wacky waving inflatable Bailey buddies, arm two men dolls.
If yes. There was ever anything that Byron Saxton did better than you... It's that. He can't do things better than most people, but he can absolutely announce that better than you. I think you just made Botchamania with that one, dude.
I tip my hat to him on that one. Yeah, so all basics do come with the Bailey buddies.
Hence the reason I'm on the fence with Sammy, Joe, and KO.
Well, how many do you need, though?
All of them?
Well, there's not... It's going to be like, what, just a couple different colors?
Yes.
Okay. Understandable.
But it's Bailey's inflatables, dude. Come on. I told you I'm getting Peyton into the figures. That you got to have the blow-up things for her favorite.
Has she started playing with figures yet?
Not yet. I need to get my hands on some... okay, that was going to sound really bad. Good thing I caught myself. I need to get my hands on some loose action figures of the women wrestlers that are on the roster.
Gotcha.
I almost said, I need to get my hands on some loose women. Good thing I didn't say that. Wait, we can edit that out, right?
Yeah, we can edit that out. If,
yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be tempted to leave that in, though.
Yeah, you absolutely should.
Well, it's funny. Is that why you were looking at the Dana Brooke figure to pick that up?
Yes, that's exactly why. Because Peyton hates her, and that would be Bailey's first victim. So I need to get my hands on some of the loose action figures of the women on the WWE roster.
Dana Brooke is like the only woman that I can find out here in the Bay Area. I find her at San Leandro Walmart. I find her at Pleasanton Walmart. I find her all over the place.
Okay. Yeah. If you spot her again, please grab her for me because I want to just start getting a collection together, but only ones that are currently on the roster.
Okay. Yeah. I'll pick that up for Peyton.
Like Dana Brooke, Charlotte. I do need a Sasha basic. So, and a Becky Lynch, of course. So, yeah, I'm going to start keeping my eyes peeled for those.
There is a painted up Finn Balor basic that is going to come with a ring.
Yes.
An NXT, and it looks like a basic ring.
Yeah, and that's going to be awesome. And I heard complaints that because it's a basic that he doesn't have any red paint on him or that the paint scheme isn't the best. I think that this Finn is supposed to be from his cage match with Samoa Joe. On one of the NXT takeovers, I believe it was Finn's rematch for the title after he had lost it to Samoa Joe.
Right, right.
And he actually, that was his first match that he lost in the paint. And I think that paint job is reminiscent of that match specifically. And I think that's why the color scheme is limited on it to just black and white.
Gotcha.
I could be mistaken, but that's what it looked like to me.
And then here are the elites. The elites for this NXT line will be Bailey. We talked about the flashback Seth. We did see the pictures of that last week and at Toy Fair. No Way Jose, and Austin Aries. I think I'm getting all four.
All four. Yeah, dude, it's such a great, it's almost like a love letter to NXT, what they just did, especially that Seth Rollins. That is one awesome looking figure.
Ant mentioned this last week. The figure that you want, everybody else wants. And yes. So that's going to be tough to find.
Well, the one I really want is No Way Jose.
That is not true.
No, you're right. It's not true. I'm a liar.
If you would have said Bailey, I'd be like, oh, okay, Peyton, I get it. And then you're like, No Way Jose. I'm like, that's not true.
No, really, it's Bailey. You're right. You caught me. It's Bailey. I love that Bailey. It really catches that outfit that she wore in NXT 2, that blue one. Absolutely love that figure. She's got the armbands rocking on there. Oh, that's an absolute purchase, a no doubter. Probably getting two, one for Peyton to open, one to keep in the packaging, and hope and pray that Bailey comes around for a signing, man. Keep my eyes on that Sacramento Wizard Con.
And Austin Aries will come with a cape also.
Yeah, it's a great looking figure. Basically, that entire NXT assortment, what a great set they're doing. Basics are doing elites. They're giving you a ring that comes with a fin. Awesome. From top to bottom, great call. And it will be Target exclusive. So mid-June, man, begin the hunt.
I also want to mention that Hideo Itami is also in the basic. I forgot to throw him in there. I mentioned it last week, but I wanted to make sure I threw that in there this week.
Yeah, which makes sense because there's your sixth figure to build all what I guess would be three different colors of the Bailey Buddies.
Right. Scott, this next topic got a lot of people excited. And we're talking about the Funkos.
It sure did.
New Funkos, expected release date is mid-August. That's kind of an early rumor. I don't know how true it is, but that's an early rumor that I've been hearing. So I'm going to lead off with my favorite one, the Chris Jericho. I'm going to stop it right there before I go down the rest of the list. He comes with the list and a scarf. This Funko is awesome, dude. Everything about this Funko is great. He's got this kind of the spiky hair that Jericho has. I love it, dude. I absolutely love this Funko.
I've pointed out in numerous podcasts that I'm not a Funko collector, but I will get my favorites. And so apparently Funko also listens to the Fully Posable podcast because they went and released a bunch of my favorites. Come on, Funko. Dude, like my wallet is just this summer going to be taking a fat beating. And I'm assuming that we're going to be seeing the second assortment of the Retro Hasbros. We've got the aforementioned NXT line coming out. And now a crap ton of killer Funkos that I normally don't collect, but I'm going to have a hard time saying no to.
Yep. Then this one, I bet, got you excited. Sasha Banks. And she will have the glasses that have the boss written in them.
That's a purchase, no doubt.
This one actually got a lot of people talking too. Million Dollar Man, and he will be in a white suit and a black suit. And apparently the white suit's going to be a chase. This is the one thing I loved about it. If you looked in his left hand of the Funko, he was holding the Million Dollar title.
Yes.
I love that touch about that Funko. Just because of that, it's a must purchase.
Yeah, that Million Dollar Man is outstanding.
And then also the Iron Sheik. Iron Sheik, he will have a red turban and a white turban, though I believe the white one will be the variant or the red one will be the variant. That one I wasn't too sure on.
Either way, no matter which one you get, they're going to be awesome.
And then this one, I thought of Peyton immediately. Bailey will be a Toys R Us exclusive and she'll be in the green outfit.
Yeah, one awesome looking Funko. I can't wait to pick that one up for her. She's absolutely going to go bonkers for it.
I showed it to the editor and the editor was like, so am I going to have to start stopping off at Toys R Us every day? And I'm like, just starting in mid-August, you know?
Yeah, we have a few months, but yeah, wallets are going to be taking a beating very soon.
And the next set of Funkos, Enzo and Cass, Walgreens exclusive. I love these ones. I thought these were awesome too.
The best part about it is that they come in a 2-pack.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That is a 2-pack, almost like the New Day 3-pack, but it's a 2-pack.
Yeah, instead of being 3, it is 2. And what a cool idea. It's not like, hey, I need to go out, because they have released New Day separately, but they're not releasing Enzo and Cass separately. They're releasing them together as a Walgreens exclusive. Awesome, awesome looking set. Again, I'm looking at this list and I'm like, dude, who do I not buy? Like, they are all fantastic.
Are you going to get the Iron Sheik?
I'm thinking about it. I would like to have one for my desk. And I know one of my buddies is buying one for his work truck. And it's going to sit on his dashboard.
Patrick?
No, Ed.
Oh, gotcha. He's getting the Iron Sheik?
Well, yeah, because he works for, an electric and gas company here in the East Bay. And he has a work truck that he drives around, and he wants the Iron Sheik on the dashboard just to remember people that they are humble, or just to remind people that they are humble.
We do not have any FTC news for the second straight week. FTC is kind of gearing up for that wave that's going to be coming out, the ROH Series 2 and Rising Stars Series 2. So not much has been released. They've been kind of teasing the figures that are going to be coming out in June. So stay tuned for when those figures drop, that because that's coming up here shortly. Scott, we got more jacks. I don't know when this is going to end.
Well, I think this pretty much wraps it up, right? We have a long nostalgia segment this week. Like, we are throwing it back.
Hold on a sec, because we still have three packs also that I was holding off till next week, because the three packs were pretty much insane.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, so we're going to have nostalgia going long this week and next week.
So, Scott, let's jump into the nostalgia segment.
All righty, then.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Scott, before we jump into the nostalgia segment, I just happened to check Twitter before we started recording this next segment. On Toy Wiz, they showed the WWE Wrestling Defining Moment Chris Jericho action figure, Y2J. They say pre-order ships in September.
A picture?
There is no pictures.
No picture.
But at least there's something on the horizon.
Which I believe we touched on that figure last week with Ant, didn't we? We said he was going to be where he won both belts. We became the Undisputed Champion. Okay. Yep. That should be a cool figure.
Yeah. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, as long as they don't put Hetfield face on him. We're all good.
Let's not bring that figure up.
Yeah, never again.
Scott, Jack's Classic 2-packs. We've got a long list. Should we speed through it or?
That's what I'm kind of thinking. I don't want to bog it down too much with the nostalgia segment. We don't maybe need to speed through it, but we'll do a brisk walk through it. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, Jack's 2-packs. We'll start off with Series 10. This was Yokozuna versus Bret the Hitman Hart. Too Cool, which was Scotty Too Hotty and Brian Christopher. And finally, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson.
Saw these figures all the time. I said, as I said last time, after Series 9, figures just got easier and easier to find.
Yeah, they sure did. And it seemed like they were kind of... That line actually made sense. You had one feud from the early 90s, one throwback tag team from the early 80s, and then you had a 2000s tag team that was really, really over with Too Cool. So the line made sense because it was kind of like three different eras of WWE, but it was hard to see that one gaining much traction. I don't think that by the time they came out, Too Cool was like super popular amongst collectors. I don't think a lot of people were clamoring or chomping at the bit to get a Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson set. But right. Yoko versus Bret, that one I think was probably the most popular one.
I did see it quite a bit. I never picked it up. Bret was in all pink. Yoko was in the red and black, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too Cool. They were okay. I don't know. It was like almost like the writing was on the wall.
It really was.
And we've talked about this a gazillion times where Jax was phoning it in maybe the last year and a half or so.
Yeah. And just really pumping out like all of the inventory that they had because they knew that, you know, they were losing the license soon. So moving on from Series 10, we have Series 11. That was Jake the Snake versus Rick the Model Martel. And they actually came out in two different versions. They came one with blindfolds and one without.
Mm-hmm.
Second one in the set, Rob Van Dam versus Taz. And finally, Rowdy Roddy Piper versus Mr. Fuji.
I love the Rick Martel and Jake the Snake Roberts 2-pack with and without blindfolds. I saw them both. Again, these were plentiful. I saw them all over the place. RVD and Taz, actually, that one was more scarce than others, but you could still find it. You could still find it.
Moving on, we have Series 12, and this was the family assortment. This one consisted of Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Natalya, Cowboy Bob Orton and Randy Orton, and finally the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and Ted DiBiase Jr. Cool, really cool idea on this set, and really well done, too. It was a good assortment. Easy to find, but a great assortment.
Can I mention how great that Jim the Anvil Neidhart figure was?
Yeah, that is a really good Jim the Anvil figure.
It was excellent. He was in his majority of black tights with the pink down the sides, kind of reminiscent of later day Hart Foundation where it was Pillman, Owen, Brett, Bulldog, and Jim.
Yep.
I love that Jim Neidhart figure, and I almost picked the set up just for that Jim figure.
Just for the Jim, yeah.
I ended up passing. Natty was good. She was pretty good. But that Jim figure was excellent. It's kind of like the Ric Flair and Charlotte battle pack. Like, the Ric Flair was just fantastic. The Charlotte was like, meh, it's not the greatest.
Yeah.
But
yeah, where you almost bought it just for the Rick. Moving on to Series 13, we have Stone Cold and The Rock, Triple H and X-Pac, and in one of the coolest ones ever, leave it for the last series, of course, Bobby the Brain Heenan and Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Was anybody else excited to have the Abe Knuckleball Schwartz?
Oh, dude, heck yeah.
When I saw it, I ran and I let out the Hardy Boy scream.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only thing that would have made that better is if it was the Goon and yeah. Abe Knuckleball Schwartz.
Oh, man. Why wouldn't they ever paired up?
You know, that's one of those questions that will go unanswered. We'll have to ponder that one for ages.
Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. I got to give him credit. That's creative. But nobody wants an Abe Knuckleball Schwartz figure.
I mean, okay, let's look at Series 13. Consisted of six figures. Stone Cold, Hall of Famer. The Rock, Hall of Famer. Triple H, future Hall of Famer. X-Pac, future Hall of Famer. Bobby the Brain, a Hall of Famer. Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. What?
That's it, creative, but come on.
Yeah. It was their last series, whatever. You know, it's kind of like your last day of work. You're going to wear a shirt that has a swear word on it. Whatever, who cares? You know, it's Jack's last series of two packs. Put out an Abe figure, who cares? So that wraps up all of the Jack's two packs.
Now, down below, we do have exclusives.
Boy, do we have some exclusives.
Yeah, we've got a couple, dude. How do you want to tackle this? Do you want to just mark off the ones that were excellent, or do you want to go by... How do you want to do this?
I'm just going to run down the list, and you stop me and interject as needed.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
And keep in mind, these are exclusives that were exclusive to a store, a franchise of some type. So here is the list. First, British Bulldog and William Regal. And this was exclusive to Argos.
Which is over in the UK, right?
Yes, that is in the UK. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. And man, do I wish I could get my hands on one of those. That is a cool two-pack.
I never found it at Big Lots. Well, I think we had one Big Lots around us around that time. One or two.
The first Big Lots that I had was here in Tracy when they opened up. Before that, I didn't have a Big Lots.
The one Big Lots I went to, because they had one in a greenhouse in San Leandro.
Oh, okay.
And I would go to that, and I never saw this two-pack. I never even found wrestling figures. And if I did, it was some knockoff brand that was like a dollar for some luchador, you know, that is not even real.
Right, exactly. And yeah, as you mentioned, that was a Big Lots exclusive and Argos. And like you, I never spotted them. I only saw them on eBay, and they were way too much. But that is a cool two-pack. Especially to have Hogan sign one of those would just look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Next. And this one is an interesting two-pack. Bret Hart versus Jeff Hardy. And that was an internet exclusive.
That was an internet exclusive. You could have gotten it on the Wrestling Superstore. I thought that two-pack was awesome. Did you get that one? I didn't see it until late.
Oh, so it was already gone.
It was already gone. Everyone was sold out of it.
Of course, because it had Jeff Hardy in it. No offense, Bret Hart, but it had Jeff Hardy in it, so of course it got bought.
Well, it's also a fantasy warfare match that a lot of people are like, oh, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of people were jumping on that real quick. I missed it, and man, I wish I wouldn't have.
Yep, regret.
Yep.
We've all got it with some figure or another. Next, we have Kane versus Vader, and that, like the other Bret versus Jeff, was also an internet exclusive.
Yeah, Vader was obese in that one too.
Oh, it was Fat Vader.
Yeah, it was Big Vader. Big Van Vader.
big Van Vader.
Emphasis on big.
Buffet Vader.
Jack's big.
That's the thing. Jack's big versus Mattel big. Huge difference, and a way better job by Mattel. It's not as insulting. Mm-hmm. And they don't put cookie sheets with the guys. Come on. Carrying on, we have Bret the Hitman Hart versus Shawn Michaels, and this was a Ringside Fest from 2006, which, if I'm not mistaken, you have that, correct?
I have it, and I have it autographed. I'm actually looking at it. Bret was in the black jacket with his black tights, has the Canada flag behind him, or Canadian flag behind him. Shawn is in his kind of red and black DX tights. Awesome. Got it signed by both of them. I had to get it signed by Bret back in 2011, and then I had to take it to Atlanta.
So Bret signed it first.
Bret signed it first, and then I had to take it to Atlanta to get Sean to sign it.
Is there any truth to the rumor that a two-pack of this exists where Brett drew a certain something next to Shawn Michaels' mouth?
So I was told this by someone at what was the LA show's? Wrestle Feast?
Wrestle Reunion.
Wrestle Reunion.
Did you say Wrestle Feast?
Yes.
No, I think that was the breakfast that was included with your Wrestle Reunion ticket.
It was what the Jax figures would sit down and eat every morning.
So, yeah, exactly. That's one of those cookie sheets.
So I was getting that signed by Brett at the Wrestle Reunion shows, and there was a fan that said, hey, one of my buddies got that signed by Brett about a couple years ago. And I said, oh, that's cool, man. And he goes, yeah, Brett was a little PO'd at Sean still, and he drew a male organ going into Sean's mouth.
Right.
And so he never showed me a picture, so there's no proof.
Maybe he just wanted to see if you would ask Brett to do it.
No, I would never ask Brett to do that.
No, I'm saying maybe that was the guy's motivation for telling you that. Like, maybe it really didn't happen. He just wanted to see if you'd ask him to do it.
No.
Yeah, what would the inscription charge be on that? That's going to count as 5 lines, sir. Can you make it really big and charge me for 10 lines? Let's put this thing back on the rails.
Yes.
Okay, so we do not know if there's any truth to that rumor regarding that Ringside Fest 06 two-pack.
No, just a fan that was telling me about his buddies, Brett and Sean two-pack.
All right, next, from Ringside Fest 07, a two-pack of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Brett the Hitman Hart, another fantastic two-pack.
I love this two-pack. Wish I could get this signed by both guys. I have it up on my wall. The great touch, and I tip my hat to Jax on this one. Do you know what the best thing about this two-pack is?
That you own it?
Aside from that, there is a ring bell in the lower right-hand corner.
Beautiful.
Excellent touch. Jax did awesome on that one. I love it. So, yep. Anyways.
They brought it on that one. That's a great two-pack.
Yep.
Next, D-Generation X. And that was a Ringside Collectibles exclusive.
That was a good one. I liked it. I didn't jump on it. Kind of wish I would have, but it's okay.
But how many Sean and Hunters do you need in your collection?
Right. It's like Mankind.
Yep. It's getting a little flooded. Next, we have Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels, another Ringside Collectibles exclusive, and this one was limited to 3,000.
Do you remember this one?
I don't.
I don't either.
I didn't even know that they made that, but to be honest, I would have passed on it.
Why is that?
I wasn't a fan of that feud. It didn't make any sense to me.
It was made for Shawn to oversell Hogan's stuff at SummerSlam.
Which was out and out ridiculous. I understand why Shawn did it, but... And you know what's funny? Somebody brought this to my attention, and they bring up a really good point. While I was watching the match transpire, I didn't realize how badly Shawn was overselling in that match until I went back and watched somebody had pieced together all of his sell jobs.
Uh-huh.
And when you watch them just as a standalone sell to each move that Hogan did, it becomes even more ridiculous the way Shawn was selling those moves. Like, dude, come on. You're making him just look like an idiot. Like, come, stop it. You know? Like, people want to complain about a certain body part suplex that a certain Joey Ryan does in the ring, and they want to complain about that, but Shawn Michaels selling by jumping all over the place like an idiot. Dude, come on.
Oh, I'm proud of you. You brought up indies.
See? that escapes me from the mark button for the rest of the episode. Maybe.
Going down the list.
Yes, moving on. Kmart exclusive, Mankind versus Terry Funk.
I never found this. I actually looked for this at the Kmart in San Leandro and never could find it.
I can't find a Kmart out here, so that's my main issue. Out here in Tracy, man, Kmarts are few and far between. Next, this was a Ringside Collectibles exclusive that I was a big fan of. Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels from the ladder match at WrestleMania 10.
I see so many people getting this autographed at WrestleCons or Access, just getting Razor and Shawn to sign it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. You hang that up on your wall, that's a source of pride right there. That is a great looking two-pack.
Yep.
Next, The Outsiders, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, another Ringside Collectibles exclusive.
Yeah, this one was awesome also. Again, they were killing it on these two-packs. I absolutely love these two-packs. I passed on quite a few of them. I kicked myself in the butt. We all have those figures that we kick ourselves in the butts for passing on. But, God, they did such a great job on these.
Yeah, not only were the figures great, but the autograph collector in me looks at it and wants to get it signed and hang it up on the wall.
Right.
The next two, were not, I'm not sure exactly where these were sold through. The first one we found at a convention. The next two, Legion of Doom as a two-pack and the Heart Foundation as a two-pack. Legion of Doom had kind of the gold accents on their red and black. And you purchased this for me at a Big Time Wrestling show. Mm-hmm. And I turned around and got that signed by Animal. I believe it was in Atlanta in 2011. Mm-hmm. And he signed it Animal. And then I asked him if he could sign Hawk with the Hall of Fame 2011. And he kind of gave me a look and then signed. I wasn't sure if he was going to beat me down or what, but he kind of had a smirk on his face and he signed it for me. That is one of my, probably next to like my Hogan and Warrior, is one of the most prized possessions in my collection, is that Legion of Doom with the signature on it. Next, the Heart Foundation. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the one that had the pink packaging, correct?
I believe so. I think this is the pink packaging. They came with jackets. And I look at that one all the time, and this is what kills me about it. As I said before, Brett always defaults to black Sharpie.
Yes.
Both Brett and Jim signed in black Sharpie over the black jacket, so you can barely see the autographs, and it kills me every time I look at it.
Oh, if we only knew about paint pens.
Oh, I was like, well, even if they would have signed in silver, I would have been okay, but it's like, oh, it kills me every time. As I said, Brett, you have to literally put the paint pen down in front of Brett. Well, actually, most guys, because most guys will always grab for that silver Sharpie.
Yeah, Finn Balor, we're looking at you, dude.
Exactly, I was about to bring that up. Brett and Jim both grabbed the black Sharpie, and I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, man, they went right over the jacket. Sign over the faces, at least you can see it, but...
Yes.
And no one else was great, as you said, it was the pink packaging on the side that made this also pop.
Yeah, they didn't even do that for the Road Warriors. Or the Legion of Doom. They could have accented it with some red and some gold or something, but nothing. But with the Heart Foundation, they threw pink on there, and it really did make it pop. I wish they would have done it on the LOD packaging.
Before you go down the list, one that pops into my head that I don't see, the Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio two-pack from their Halloween Havoc match.
Oh, right. Yes.
I'm looking on the list, and I'm like, wait a second, where is that one?
But was that a Classic Superstars, or was that a Deluxe Classic Superstars two-pack?
That was a... You know what? I think you're right. That was Deluxe Classic.
Yeah, I want to say that was a Deluxe Classic Superstars 2-pack.
Which still should be on the list.
It should have made the list. Because it was really well done. That is a cool looking set. Especially the Ray, dude. That one's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, continuing on.
Okay, next. Another Ringside Collectibles exclusive. This one was Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Was she wearing a white t-shirt and Triple H was in kind of like a jean jacket?
Yes. That
okay,
was the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. I do remember this one. She came with the women's title, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I believe she did. Yeah, this one was a pass for me. I do remember that set, and I passed on it. Next on the list, and this is one that I didn't know existed until you got it as a gift from the editor, the Hardy Boys, which was a WWEShopZone.com exclusive.
Love these figures. I wasn't expecting this when the editor got this for me. It is awesome. I love it. She actually thought she was purchasing another two-pack, Hardy's two-pack, Jack's Classic. And all of a sudden, this shows up, and she's like, oh, no, this isn't the right one. I was like, whoa, hold on. What's this? You know?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't remember this on ShopZone. And I'm like, this is awesome. And she goes, you like it? And I'm like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, and you don't have that signed, correct?
No, I would, and I would get it in white paint pen if I could.
Yeah, that one is amazing. It might be one of my favorite Hardy Boys two packs ever. That one is so slick, dude. I really, really like that two pack.
When you skipped over on the list, the Shawn Michaels and Diesel, where it was two dudes with attitude kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool two pack too.
Yeah, no, it totally was.
And I skipped over it and wish I wouldn't have. It's all these ones I'm looking back. And I'm like, man, mid 2000s was kind of rough financially.
Yeah.
If I was where I was now with this job, I would purchase all of these without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. In a perfect world with perfect finances, most of these assortments definitely would have been in the collection. But unfortunately, didn't work out that way. But we can look back with regret and kind of cry about it a little bit. That helps.
Yes. Who knew we would start a show that would make us look back and make us cry over these?
Yeah, exactly. Moving on down the list. This is the second to last one here. Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold. And this was another WWE Shop Zone exclusive.
Got to be honest, I don't remember this. I don't remember most of these Shop Zone exclusives.
You have to assume it was WrestleMania 14.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I kind of remembering a little bit, I think. Unless I'm getting the Shawn Michaels confused, but I definitely think this was from their WrestleMania 14. And Shawn Michaels obviously was in the red tights with the hearts on it that was from that match, but I don't remember it super clear.
And then one last Shop Zone exclusive.
Yep, that was Undertaker versus Triple H.
They were forecasting.
Yeah, who knew?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. They were going to have a massive WrestleMania feud.
So everyone, you've got one more week of Jax.
Drink it in, man. Mark.
Mark.
Thank you.
Scott, your secret question.
No, it's cool. Let's go on to our segment after that.
I think it's actually going to be pretty quick. I think you're going to be able to bust right through this real quick.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's talk about that.
Wait, are you feeling okay? You up for your secret question?
I think I'm up for it. I think we could do this.
Scott, your secret question has returned this week. We had our secret question from Ant last week. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, it's rough, isn't it? I mean, what could that be like, having to sit there week by week and deal with a secret question? Man, I wouldn't want to be that guy.
The listeners feel for me.
Yes, it's very hard being you.
Scott, your secret question this week. It's very easy. I have a feeling you're just going to breeze right through it. What is your favorite wrestling ring of all time as far as toys?
Dude, it's the Impaler. It has to be. It's the LJN ring.
That's what I was thinking you were going to go with. I thought that there might be a chance that you would go with the Hasbro ring.
No, that's definitely a very, very, very close second. And we always say sentimental reasons. And I think that's the issue with the LJN ring. It's just the sentimental part of it. I mean, that thing was so big and beefy. And we had the conversation with Ant last week about how Mom, when we'd pack up the trunk for Disneyland and we insisted on bringing our LJN figures and ring, had to clear a humongous spot in the trunk and pack everything else around it just so we can bring the big hulking ring and all of our heavy rubber wrestling figures that weighed down the trunk a ton. Just the love of being able to bounce the guys off the ropes, and you could bounce Superfly and have them do Superfly splashes in the ring, and all of the paint marks that your figures would leave on the ring, and how the stickers would peel a little bit, and how those unforgiving turnbuckle posts or the ring posts, how they just did not move at all. Man, just from start to finish, that is such a killer ring. Definite honorable mention in a very close second, like I said, the Hasbro ring. The original blue, not so much the King of the Ring yellow ring, but that blue Hasbro ring, also mostly due to the fact that it had that little table with that little bump up that you could wrap the heavyweight title around, I thought was such a cool touch. And it had the little American flag that you could stick in the corner. And yeah, definitely a close second. But the LJN ring for sure. And God bless those paint marks that were all left in the ring from the LJN figures, dude. That's something I'll never forget.
And I want to bring up also an honorable mention is the ROH ring.
Oh, absolutely. The construction of it.
FTC knocked it out of the park with that one.
Absolutely.
I know one of my friends, Fred, over at the Kayfabe Connection, check him out on YouTube, Kayfabe Connection. Fred got the NXT ring, and he loves that thing. He loves piling the wrestlers in the NXT ring.
Now, this is the real scale NXT ring, correct?
Yes, real scale NXT ring.
Yeah, I want one of those so bad.
He got it, and he loves it, dude. He absolutely loves it.
Now, I've never actually owned one of those real scale rings. I hope to very soon. I'm kind of holding out hope that they do one with the video board on the side that lights up, like with a bunch of LEDs or something. I'm hoping that they do something like that. Anyway, I'm wondering, what is the main difference between, and you're probably not going to have an answer to this because you don't have one either, but what is the main difference between the FTC ROH ring and the Mattel Real Scale ring?
I don't know. I don't have the Mattel Real Scale ring, but all the pictures I'm looking at, it doesn't look like there is much difference.
I wonder size-wise if it's as close to the size of that, because that ROH ring is big, and I'm wondering if it's on scale with that.
As far as I can see, it looks that way to me. I mean, until I get one actually here, I don't know, but from every picture I'm looking at, it's almost like the scale is dead on. It looks like everything is basically the same, except different companies.
I think it might be in our best interest to do a video on this.
Yeah, we could do that.
I think we should go buy a ring, maybe buy a couple of figures, take it back to your place, crack open some brewskis or some bottles of water.
Yes.
And compare the ROH ring, which we've already done an unboxing video of, and compare it to the Mattel Real Scale ring. Because I'd love to know. I've always wanted a Mattel Real Scale, but they're like $70, so I haven't really had the funds to sink into that.
Worst ring goes to Galoob. Oh, wait, or Remco. No, I like the Remco ring over the Galoob. Galoob was the worst ring.
You know, Galoob was bad, but yeah, worst ring, honorable mention, goes to that AWA ring, dude.
So would you put the AWA ring over the Remco ring?
Galoob ring, I think, does take worst, but that AWA is a really, really, really close second. It's bad, and we're not even going to mention those bad Jax rings that they did that were gimmicky, like the Carlito's ring, those gimmicky ones. Remember Target carried them?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
We can leave those out of the discussion. We're just talking a straight-up non-gimmick ring. That AWA one was literally a cardboard bottom, like a hard cardboard bottom with a canvas mat, cheap wood ring posts,
yes.
Little tiny turnbuckles, and I think the ropes, if I'm not mistaken, were like glued together.
Uh-huh.
And inevitably, that glue would wear out and just the rope would fall apart. You'd have to tie it into a knot and try to hide it by the turnbuckle. Yes. That ring was so frustrating. Oh, it drove me nuts because the cardboard also inevitably gave way underneath. And so your ring would almost start to collapse.
Yep.
These were some of the crappiest rings you ever played with figures in. And on top of that, it was super small. It was not in scale at all with the size of the Remco figures. So with as good of a job as the Remco figures did representing the wrestler they were supposed to portray, the ring itself did not do them any justice. It was super small. Man, I'm starting to think AWA might be my least favorite ring. Really, just I'm going crazy on this thing now that I'm remembering it. I'm like, man, sometimes I wanted to switch over to the WWF ring to have my matches with the AWA guys because that AWA ring really sucked.
It was bad, dude, but the Galoob ring I just thought was so flimsy, just terrible. I could not stand the Galoob ring.
Yeah, it was garbage. I don't disagree with you. I'm starting to think the AWA ring was hot garbage.
You know what, though? It was memorable, though.
It was.
It had a certain look to it. It had that AWA canvas.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
It had the brown canvas. It had the AWA logo smack dab in the middle and on the
sides. It did. It was very colorful. You're right. You're right. So it doesn't get worst because of the canvas and the very colorful logo. You have sold me on it not being the worst.
I will agree with you about the cardboard and the wood post.
And the ropes. The crappy ropes.
And the crappy ropes.
And the crappy turnbuckles.
And the crappy turnbuckles, yes. But the Galoob ring, hands down, that's it for me.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. You've sold me on the AWA ring not being the worst, but it was super frustrating because the AWA figures had a lot of posability to each figure. And so you could do more than you could with the LJN. So it was fun to play with the AWA guys. But then you'd put them in that ring and there was like no room to move. If you had two guys in there, if you tried to do a Texas Tornado tag team match, forget about it. There was no room to put even four guys in that ring. It was so small.
So, Scott, that rounds out your secret question this week. That wasn't so bad.
That wasn't so bad. You kind of threw me a softball this week. Thank you.
Scott, we got a listener question, an email, and one other question. So, what do you say we get into that?
Let's do it.
Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
Scott, we got our second, number two, dose, listener question. And it comes from Stu. And Scott, here's the question.
Hi guys, this is Stu from over in the UK. You can find me on Twitter at WrestleFigsUK or at the Indie Corner. My question is pertaining to last week's show. Funny enough, you know, you were talking about the limited edition Jax figures, limited edition and exclusives, etc. I just want to know, you know, what is your personal, what would you say is rarest Jax figure? Cheers. Thanks, guys. Great show. Keep the good work.
Scott, what you got for Stu?
Man, you know, the rare figures, we talked about them last week, or the week before last, I believe. The rarest, they have to be the employee exclusives, right? And then those ones that Warrior had commissioned that he ended up selling some of. That's like the rarest of the rare.
Well, I think Stu is asking, what is your rarest Jax figure? Because there were so many. Like, what was one that you have that's rare?
I think probably the rarest one that I have would be that Legion of Doom that we discussed in the last segment, in the nostalgia segment, the ones with kind of the gold accents on their ring gear. Uh-huh. I think that would be the rarest one that I own.
The Road Warriors 2-pack?
Yes.
Yeah, for me, it's that Hogan with the machine mask.
Yes.
That one's my rarest. It's not my favorite. My favorite is the Deluxe Classic British Bulldogs.
Yes.
For rarest, it would definitely be the Hogan with the machine mask. Had to have it. Love it. Everything about it. Terrific.
Now, if I could have a wish to get one of the rarest Jax figures, I think I would want that Bobby Heenan in the Weasel suit.
Have you checked the prices on eBay on that one?
It's been a long time. Like when they first came out, I was checking prices and they were just outrageous. I haven't looked in years. but I can't imagine there being many available out there. They were so limited. But yeah, that's definitely on my short list of, man, I wish I had gotten that figure.
So I hope we answered your questions, Stu. Those are ours. Actually, I want to follow up. What is your rarest, Stu?
Yeah, are you holding the Bobby Heenan in the weasel suit? That'd be sweet.
That would be awesome, dude. So thank you, Stu, for sending in your audio question. And guys, you again, you can send in your audio questions to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Like Stu did. Scott, here is the listener question. Have you ever gotten to the wrestling figure section of a store, seen a kid or kids or someone holding a figure in their hands debating on getting it, and you talk them out of it because you wanted and need it?
Yes.
What?
I have. I might have told the story before on one of the podcasts. I was young. This didn't happen recently. I wasn't like a 30 or a 40-year-old man like walking up to a little kid. Hey, you don't want that. That figure's a piece of crap. You want this freaking John Cena figure. Buy this instead. Give me that Macho Man. No, I didn't do anything like that. I was probably, gosh, this had to have happened in like 87. So I was in like 6th or 7th grade. I was probably 12 or 13.
Uh-huh.
LJN, unbeknownst to me, had come out with some new figures. Amongst those being Bruno Sammartino, SD Jones, Ted Arcidi. It was in that assortment.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know they had released new figures. So backing up a little bit, I was begging mom to take me to Toys R Us. She finally relented. We get on the freeway, and you were with us. We get on the freeway. We were in that big red Buick, or Buick, whatever, that dad had. Remember that thing with the big leather seats and it had the electric seats? Okay.
Sure do.
Okay, so we're on 880 heading towards Toys R Us. An accident is on the side of the road right by A Street, by the laundromat that mom and dad used to own.
Mm-hmm.
There's an accident on the side of the road. Mom glances at the accident, looks back forward, and there's a van stopped because traffic had stopped. But mom looked her over to the accident real quick, looked forward, punched on the brakes, and rear-ended the guy.
I remember this.
You do? Okay. Luckily, no damage was done. Everybody was fine. Mom pulled over. The guy in the van pulled over. They got out. They looked at everything. It was a big, beefy van. And luckily, mom didn't do any sort of damage. And I think the guy could tell mom was pretty shaken up.
Right.
And he's like, no, I got out with her. And he was like, you know, don't worry about it. There's no damage done. Everything's fine. Just, you know, are you okay? Because he saw that she had kids in the car. And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. Are you okay? And he goes, I'm fine. I'm just glad you're okay. Let's just move on and forget about it. So they didn't exchange information. Mom gets back in the car and she's pretty shaken up. But the LJN collector in me is like, Mom, we're still going to Toys R Us, right? Mom shot me a look that I think maybe I've only seen like twice in my entire life. That was like, you little a-hole. If I could punch you in the face right now and nobody see it, I would totally do it. Not that my mom would actually punch me in the face, but she had that look, right? All kids know it. Well, Mom, being the trooper that she is, goes through road derby for me or bumper cars, and then we go to Toys R Us. Of course, me being the wrestling mark that I am, beeline for the wrestling figures, and you're right behind me. I run over to the wrestling figures, and lo and behold, they have this new assortment that I didn't know about. I see Bruno Sammartino on the peg, and I'm like, oh man, there's Bruno Sammartino. And I look at the two guys that were standing in front of the figures. They were teenagers, like I would say mid-teens, like 15, 16 years old, and one of them is holding SD Jones. For whatever reason, I loved SD Jones. He was like my favorite jobber as a kid before I knew what even a jobber was. I just knew I always wanted him to win and he never did. But I happened to watch a Coliseum videotape where he split a battle royal with Tony Atlas.
Speaking of glorified jobbers.
Yes, exactly. So for some reason, I think it was that Coliseum video. SD Jones was one of my favorites. So I see the kid holding SD Jones and I'm like, okay. And I'm starting to like look through the figures on the pegs and I don't see another SD Jones. And I'm like, I'm either going to have to fight this kid or use my words. One or the other. And I walk up to him. I'm like, oh, hey, is that SD Jones? And the guy's like, yeah, dude, these are brand new. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Can I see it? The kid hands it to me and I start walking off with it. And I kind of like, I turn around and I start to go around the next aisle and I hear the guy go, oh, all right, well, I guess I'm not getting that one. And they take off. And I immediately hook right back around the aisle and you're right behind me. And I immediately grab Bruno Sammartino off the pegs and I'm rifling through. I grab Ted Arcidi and I run up to mom who's still shaken from the car accident that she just got into. And I'm like, mom, can I get these? And she's like, no, you're not getting anything. And I'm like, mom, please, these are brand new. And of course, mom relented because she loves us. And I believe that day we went home with SD Jones, Ted Arcidi, and Bruno Sammartino, because I sweet-talked a dude out of this SD Jones.
Dude, that was the same day, huh?
Oh, the same day, the same trip. Yes. If mom hadn't powered through on that accident, I might not have gotten SD Jones, because I don't recall seeing him very much after that. Like, that's when they really started to dry up around us. Like, we saw the Terry Funk, the Hercules Hernandez, the Outback Jack, Adrian Adonis, but for some reason, Bruno, Ted Arcidi, and SD Jones weren't super plentiful around our area. So had that not happened, we might have been paying like $13 to $20 for it on that wrestling ring site.
That's crazy, dude, because I was thinking about that accident a couple weeks ago. For some reason, it flashed into my head. I remember still going to Toys R Us and walking down the aisle to the wrestling figures.
Yes.
And I remember, I don't remember that it was a van. I remember mom getting in the accident. I remember mom being shaken. I remember still going to Toys R Us. Mom, as you said, mom powered through it.
Yeah, she did.
But I didn't know that we got figures that day. That part I do not remember.
Yeah, mom relented. She was awesome. And I think you might have joined in with me on the begging. Got home, cracked them open, took out the posters, admired them, wrapped them back up in the rubber band, which are now sitting downstairs in my garage. Yeah, good times, man. Good times. So yes, I have actually talked to somebody out of a figure, and that is the first and only time I've ever done it.
And Scott, we'll get into our... This email was called Toy Spotting Heartbreak.
Oh, no.
Yes, this actually comes from Seth, who I met out in WrestleMania out in Florida, him and his wife, Chick Foley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this came from Seth. He said, "Hey, guys, once again, it was a blast seeing Jeff and Celeste at WrestleMania weekend. Hopefully Scott can make it next year." You better make it.
I will be there.
I'm not sure if you guys are interested in listener toy spotting stories. Hells yeah.
Yes, we are. Always.
But I just experienced something so heartbreaking and traumatic that I had to share it. Some background. I live in Hawaii, and even though it is paradise and wonderful place to live, finding figures is especially difficult out here. Our local Target is even worse than most. I'm pretty sure it's been 2 years since I found an Elite that I actually need on the pegs. Anyways, I saw last week that people had begun to find Elite 49 at Targets across the nation. On Wednesday night, I had a few things to pick up. Figured since I'm here, I may as well take a peek at the WWE section. There was 2 Narcissist and 3 Lord Steven Regals on the pegs. Pretty depressing, however, I decided to check BrickSeek, and it showed that our Target actually had 13 Elites in stock. This could only mean one thing. There's another case in the back.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart. That's a smart move.
Yes, it is.
Luckily enough, there was an associate working in the next aisle over. I politely asked for her help. I showed her the BrickSeek page and used you guys' tip of offering to put them on the pegs. That was Ant. That was actually a smart move on Ant's part.
Absolutely.
For her, if she could just get someone to bring the case out, instead of giving me the usual whatever is on the shelf and what we have. She actually called to the back to check and see if there was really a case back there. Someone from the back room says he found the case and he will be there in 5 minutes.
Oh, anticipation builds. Yes.
Uh-huh. Sweating. Like you getting ready, yes, for a secret question.
Yeah, your heart starts to beat. Yeah.
Seth said that this has never happened for me. It must be my lucky night. The toy spotting stars have aligned. At this moment, I was convinced that this mystery case must be freshly received pack of Elite 49. My heart was doing red arrows at the excitement of my new Randy Orton, Becky Lynch, and Enzo and Cass. Bringing home the entire set in one haul would be my one greatest figure hunting achievement ever. I had already texted my wife, Sheena, aka Chick Foley, on Instagram to let her know that daddy's bringing home something good from Target. The associate finally arrived from the back, and I didn't even wait for the other Target employee to meet him. I used my keys to cut open the box and grab my treasures. With a big grin on my face, I peeled back the cardboard, and suddenly none other than Big E's goofy grin is staring right back at me. Are you effing kidding me? Elite 44. A set I completed back in November. I didn't even bother looking for any other. I slumped away from the toy section, grabbed a pack of Oreo Thins, and went home to drown my sorrows in milk and cookies.
Oh.
On the way home, my sadness turned to anger. How could Target's toy section be so far behind? How could they stock so many obsolete figures? Delete. From this moment, I am vowing to boycott Target the rest of my life, or at least until the NXT exclusive line hits. The end. Happy hunting. Hashtag fig life. Seth Phelps.
That is an awesome email, dude. My heart was doing red arrows. Yes. Yes.
Dude, you know how many times we've seen a case laying out and our heart starts doing that same exact thing?
I know the feeling. Or the feeling when, yes, somebody is bringing out a case and you see them walking with said case. Just the anticipation. Dude, it's incredible. Like, it's such a rush. And it's that thrill of toy spotting and finding rare figures. That really does suck that it wasn't his Elite 49. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. But Elite 44, wasn't that the one that had Sasha and Braun Strowman and Big E?
That was exactly the same thing I was thinking. I was like, oh, you know what? There's a Braun Strowman and Sasha in there that you could pick up.
Yeah, man. Passed him up. Wow. I would have bought the Sasha, I think, just to have loose.
I got to give Seth credit for even checking the Brixie gap.
Yeah, yeah. Mad props, dude. That's genius. But I'm wondering if he kept his end of the deal up with putting the figures up on the pegs. I bet he did.
Yeah, Seth's a good dude. Yeah, he did. I bet he did. I need a follow-up, Seth. Did you put him on the pegs?
Or was he so upset and heartbroken that he just walked away, just leaving a trail of tears on said case and in the aisles up to the register?
And you know what's funny is I can just see Chick Foley at home waiting for figures. I know her, and she's like sitting there. She's all, Seth's bringing home some figures, and he brings home the Oreos.
Yeah, I wonder if he received a brain buster after he walked in empty handed.
Ghetto blaster.
Yeah, maybe a ghetto blaster. That works too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need a follow up. Did you get a ghetto blaster or a brain buster?
Yeah. Or were you walking with a severe limp from a figure four?
So, Scott, this week we are doing Who Did It Better. And after seconds of thinking, I thought, hey, why not we discuss Lex Luger figures?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I thought, you know, Lex Luger, we could discuss some Lex Luger figures over here.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's go down the list. Lex's first figure was a Galoob.
Yes, it was.
I liked the look of the figure. I hated the pose of the figure.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing, is that the pose made sense. But when you wanted to play with it, it was not play friendly at all.
You were doing a DDT. That's it.
Or a crap load of headlocks. Yeah, or DDTs or bulldogs. Just not a great pose to have a good match with. It really wasn't. It was probably not as bad as Rick Rude, but pretty darn close. I'm sorry, Rick Rude LJN, to clarify.
Lex was actually in the blue trunks in that figure.
Correct.
He was supposed to have another one, and that one came out in the UK where he was in the robe, correct?
Yeah, it was like a half robe, kind of. Kind of like what Kerry Von Erich used to wear.
Yeah, and that one is where his left arm was kind of up in the air and his right arm was down.
Yeah, so more of like a body slam pose, which would have been way better to have on that first Lex Luger figure. But unfortunately, they put him in the, I don't even know what they call that, flex. But he was like flex. It was that most muscular. I forget what they call it.
Then Lex Luger was on the red card where he was the narcissist.
Yes, which by the time the red card released, he was no longer the narcissist.
He was already into the American gimmick.
He was already doing the American gimmick. So if you got this figure, opened it, and wanted to play with it like we did, you were stuck pretending that he was wearing the red, white, and blue and not the white, purple, and silver of the narcissist.
Then he was supposed to be on the orange card.
Yes.
That was never released.
And that would have been All-American Lex Luger.
Oh, that orange card series, what could have been?
Oh, man. Orange card and beyond. It's such a shame that Hasbro ended. We've talked about that. We've had many discussions about it, but what could have been? I would have loved to have at least had an All-American Lex and a Diesel figure. And maybe either a Powers of Pain or a Brainbusters, but yeah, that's pinching a little bit. My two most wanted out of the Hasbros, All-American Lex and Diesel.
Then he went back to WCW where he had old San Francisco Toy Makers.
Yes, he did.
We can skip those. He also had Toy Biz, which we can also skip. Nothing really.
He also had a vibrating figure, which we can skip.
Yeah, there. Ugh.
Yeah, we'll just blow right over the whole OSFTM line. None of those are going to make our favorite Lex Luger figures.
Any Toy Biz make the list?
Not really. No, they didn't really do a lot of good Lexes, especially the first one was horrible.
Yeah.
That first Lex was awful.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. And I'm on the I hate Toy Biz train with you on the Lex Luger. That Lex Luger figure in the first assortment was horrible. Probably the worst Lex Luger figure made. And they made a vibrating Lex Luger figure.
You can actually join me. The whole train is, we're welcoming everybody for Toy Biz hate.
I will not. I'm going to stay aboard the I kind of liked Toy Biz. But as far as the train leaving town with the I hate the Lex Luger Toy Biz figure, I am on board, and that is the worst Lex Luger figure made.
Did he have some bendies too?
He did have a bendy, and that was All-American Lex Luger.
That was All-American. I thought so. I was thinking about that one.
Yep. Yep, that was a bendy.
And then he didn't have anything until Jax Classic.
Jax Classic would have been the next one. And I think that they really did a good job of capturing that late 80s Lex Luger. He was in the black trunks. He came with the big gold belt. If it's not Hasbro that is my favorite Lex Luger figure, it's probably that one.
The only thing missing on that figure was a robe. It needed a robe.
I agree with you 100% that if they had done a little bit more homework, I think, on that figure and could have put an accessory, another one besides the belt with it, absolutely a black robe would have just, that would have cemented that as my favorite Luger figure.
Then Luger also had a Deluxe Classic.
Yes, he did. And that one is also towards the top of my list as favorites. But the only thing against it, why did it come with a World Heavyweight title?
I don't know.
So confusing. And correct me if I'm wrong, that was the big gold belt, right?
It was the big old belt. Like, the WCW belt wasn't in WWF at that time. Ric Flair already had to relinquish it back.
Exactly. So they included a WCW championship with an exclusive All-American Lex Luger that was WWF. Like, wait, what? Was this Jax not doing their homework again? Why are you combining the two? It doesn't go together.
Then Luger, what was his next figure after that? Was it Mattel? It was Mattel Elite 29 or something like that?
Yeah, that sounds about right. They've done the Narcissist Lex.
Yeah, he had the American Lex, which was awful. I can't remember which series that was. It was 28, 29, whatever. But the terrible thing about it is he had that mullet.
Yes.
Luger had the short hair at that time.
That was, yeah, again, it might be a minor nitpick, but if the guy didn't look like that during that particular run, i.e., the British Bulldogs 2-pack that came with Matilda,
right,
with Davy Boy with the long hair, it throws you off. Like, if they had done their homework or looked at reference photos, they would not have put the mullet on that Luger, but they did, and he should have had the short hair. So yeah, that's a big knock on that figure.
And then I think that rounds out the Luger.
That's pretty much it for Lex.
Yep, that rounds out all the Luger figures.
So your favorite?
Favorite, if we're going off of looks, I would say the Galoob. The Narcissist red card, oh man, you know what though? I really do like that Narcissist red card.
Yeah, I think that's going to be my favorite Lex. Yes, it came out when he wasn't Narcissist anymore, but regardless, he was the Narcissist shortly before that came out, so that's a pass. But the job that Hasbro did with 4 inches of plastic and sculpting a little 1-inch head, it's amazing, and it's dead on, and it's a perfect Narcissist figure.
Man, that, you know what? I have a tough time deciding between the Galoob, because the Galoob had the looks, man. That it was done perfectly on the looks for Luger.
But the pose.
But the pose is what throws it off.
Big time. At least the Narcissist figure from Hasbro, it had the one where you lift the arms up over the head and it slams the guy down.
Man, I can't choose.
Well, let's not forget the classic Superstars Lex. The NWA version that came with the big gold belt, that's an excellent figure as well.
That one was good, except it was missing the robe. It needed that.
It didn't have a robe, but yeah.
It needed the robe. You know what? I'll go with the Hasbro.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. That is the perfect Lex Luger Narcissist figure. And unfortunately, there is no perfect American Lex, which that, I've admitted it before on the show, that is probably my favorite version of Lex Luger. I don't know why I was such a huge All-American Lex fan. I must have really hated Yokozuna and loved when he got on that ship and slammed him. But they just haven't done a good All-American Lex. I would say the best one might be his bendy.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds, I think it was his bendy.
Deluxe Classic was really good. It was just, why was it packaged with a big gold belt?
It came with the big gold belt. Yeah, that threw it off for me. And like you with the mullet on the other Elite Lex, yeah, on the Mattel line. Just, it doesn't make sense.
Worst Lex you can throw to OSFTM or Toy Biz.
I'm going to say Toy Biz. The first series Toy Biz. That Lex Luger is garbage. garbage. It's really, really bad. It's my least favorite figure out of that first assortment.
So that rounds out our Lex Luger love.
There you go, Lex, if you're listening.
And head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt like Scott Toon will be receiving soon for Father's Day.
And keep your eyes peeled for a new design.
That page bookmark. Of course, you can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, where you also see the new shirt. At Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Give us 5-star skis. That helps us out a lot. You can email us any audio questions, FullyPosableWFP, or toy spotting heartbreak stories like Seth to FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. Scott, that rounds out episode 71. 29 more, and we're at 100, dude.
Wow. 29 more. Unbelievable.
And then 4 more after that, it'll be a 2-year anniversary.
Crazy to think about.
Yeah, we have to.
Thank you, listeners.
We have to go through our terrible twos.
Yeah. It'll be nothing but a year of horrible, horrible shows.
Exactly. So, Scott, for episode 71, anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
#FigLife.
Mark.
Adios.